Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, my good friends. Okay, finally, we're going to do diabetes. Why are we going to do diabetes? Because over the age of 65, 25% of the population has it. And believe me, those numbers are climbing rapidly for good reasons, as you will understand. $200 billion a year. The American Diabetes Association, who I would tend to trust on this issue, tells us we spend about $200 billion a year. That's a lot of dough for something that's very, very, very easily avoided almost no matter who you are. 10% of the population has it. That's starting out at age 10 all the way to age 90. So this is a big one. At the turn of the century, if you didn't know, we lost people to five major causes, and one of them was diabetes. The other one was infant mortality. The other one was mortality of mom at birth, tuberculosis. And diabetes then was type 1 diabetes. That was the diabetes you were born with, where the pancreas didn't secrete insulin. And we'll be getting into the science of it today, because that's what the show is about. You're going to see, if you understand the science behind how the body manages its sugar and what happens if it doesn't manage its sugar, if you really get that, you'll understand how to get yourself out of it if you've got it and how to prevent it if you might have it in the family, which is a pretty good indice. If it's in your genetics, think in terms of you might be headed for the same thing. If your dad and mom had it, or mom, and you take after your dad or your mom, chances are you have a tendency to get it, but that, of course, doesn't mean you have to get it. Okay, a little science, because that's what gives you the power, right? The science that you may not have had, that you were afraid because it was so riddled with things that weren't important, and you could never get to the essence. And here's the essential science to understand type 2 diabetes. Okay, when you eat a carbohydrate, so you know what they are, right? The pastas, the grains, the breads, even the fruit. Anything under the name carbohydrate or the pure sugars. So when you're talking about honey and agave, and when you splurge over the holidays and you have candy and this kind of thing at Halloween, etc. When you either put sugar or you put carbohydrate into your body, in the intestinal tract, they're all going to break down to glucose. Once they get into your mouth, you begin digesting the carbohydrate with a digestive enzyme in the mouth called amylase. And amylase is secreted from your salivary glands, and it's in the saliva. And as you chew, you start carbohydrate digestion. Well, then you swallow, and the food goes down the esophagus into the stomach, where you don't have any carbohydrate digestion. So if you're talking about your long-chain carbohydrates, meaning your complex carbs, not your simple monosugars like the straight glucose you might ingest, if you're talking about the more complex carbs, they begin their digestion, again, via the amylase enzymes, different classes of them, in the small intestine. So there you've got this ton of carbohydrate or sugar in your small intestine, and that's going to get broken down to sugar. Now, sugar is a two-sided coin. Sugar's not really a bad thing, because all the energy that your cells produce, so your organs can do what your organs are supposed to do, is fueled by sugar. So if you look at every cell in the body, it's sitting there begging for a little sugar. Not too much, not too little, just the right amount of sugar. And that sugar goes in through the cell membrane, through receptor sites, and we'll get into that. And once the sugar gets in the cell, the sugar goes over and it gets basically digested by enzymes within the cell itself. And that sugar is used ultimately through what we call the Krebs cycle. We don't have to get too complicated, but Krebs cycle and mitochondrion are good words for you to know because they represent the place, or at least the arena, in which that sugar that comes into your cell, you think of your brain or your heart or your kidney or your liver, when that sugar goes into that cell and it interfaces into the Krebs cycle, the aerobic glycolysis cycles, it's going to produce in the end, along with the oxygen that you've delivered to the cell, adenosine triphosphate, AT as in Thomas, P as in Paul, ATP. And that's all you got to know. That ATP is the currency of the cell. It's in the cell. If you've got ATP, you're rich with dollars. And you can spend those dollars any way you want. You can repair the cell with those dollars. You can tell the cell to do more work or triple its work output with those dollars. And that's really one of the reasons sugar is so important. You can't make ATP from fat. You can't make it from amino acid. But I don't want you to get confused, because the body's got ways of converting fat and amino acid into the sugar that the cell needs. So you might not need a direct ingestion of glucose. That's the catch. You got to get that. So let me just briefly state that again. Every cell in the body needs sugar. That sugar, which breaks down to glucose, that single molecule, goes into the cell, and the cell pops out this ATP, and that's the currency of the cell. Is the cell making ATP? Your life runs smooth. You can repair the cell with that, or you can tell the cell to work three times harder. And your body can take not just sugar to deliver to the cell. It can take fat in, and it can take protein, which it'll break to amino acids, and it can convert that to glucose. So understand that the cell needs glucose, but the source of the glucose could be fat or protein. And that's your leverage when we're talking diabetes. We'll get back to that. Now, when you have sugar in the intestines and it absorbs into the blood, if it absorbs in one big flush, in other words, too much too soon. And why would that be? Because you ingested poor sugar or cheap carbohydrate. When you have the pastas and the white rice, when you eat the candy bars, when you drink the sodas, you're getting this pure infusion of sugar into the blood. Now, the body knows, because the body's smart, that this infusion of sugar is toxic. And we'll get into that in a moment, how sugar ultimately can rot out. It can rot and decay your nerves and your blood vessels, which is why people with diabetes have such problem down the line. But you've had this candy bar, or you've drank this soda, or you had this pasta, or you had this, well, we won't put potato in there, but we could. Potatoes are better than, of course, white rice, a processed white rice, croissants, anything under the name carb. But carbs, and you know, we have good carbs and bad carbs, but we'll use the bad carb to illustrate the physiology. This bad carb, this white rice, say, it flushes into the blood, and now the brain knows that the blood is in a toxic situation, and it's got to get all this sugar out of the blood. And where? It's got to put it somewhere. It's got to get it to your cell. Or it's got to send it to the liver. Or it's got to send it to the muscle cells for storage. In any event, this flush of sugar into the blood sets off a panic button in the body's innate physiology. And the pancreas comes to the rescue. Now, that pancreas is deep. It's just underneath your stomach. And that's one of the many organs of the body. And you know this, from pancreatitis to pancreatic cancer to, on the farm, we used to take the pancreas out and make sweetbreads. So you understand pancreas. It's got two functions. One is it makes insulin. The other is it makes digestive enzymes. It's an endocrine and an exocrine gland. But it's got two functions. One is for digestion. Our pancreas digests. The other is it produces insulin. Insulin's a special chemical. At the turn of the century, if you were born and unfortunately you didn't produce it, you died. Then we synthesized insulin sometime, I think it was the 40s, I'm not exactly sure of that date. And we saved lives then, and we celebrated. We celebrated pharmacology, synthetic insulin that saved lives, and you were happy then. But the insulin that's produced by the pancreas comes into the blood, and when it comes into the blood, it goes to the cells, the same cells that the glucose is going to. And the insulin binds to the membrane of those cells. So it binds the insulin to your brain cell, to your heart cell, to your kidney cell, to your liver cell. Any cell in the body has a receptor site in the membrane for the insulin. And if it receives that insulin, once it receives it, the insulin triggers a response in the cell to open its doors to glucose. So you get that sugar in the blood, the pancreas secretes insulin, the insulin goes to the cell, it binds at the receptor site, and that triggers an opening of a special door, a GLUT receptor, a glucose receptor, a couple of them in the membrane of the cell. And so the cell opens its membrane door to the glucose, and the glucose goes into the body to make the ATP. And that's the deal. And that's the way life should work. And that's normal, healthy physiology. Except we got problems. And one of the problems is sometimes from overuse, the membrane of the cell that binds the insulin, the receptor site, it burns out. It's called the beta receptor. There's a beta receptor, we call it, on the cell membrane that doesn't like insulin anymore. It gets tired of binding it. It gets hit on so many times it finally gets bored. It doesn't function right. And we start to develop insulin resistance. Now, if you have insulin resistance because the beta receptor in the membrane of the cell gets tired of binding insulin, how can the sugar get into the cell? It can't. So your blood sugar starts staying higher. Now, why did this insulin receptor site, why did it get bored? Why did it not respond to insulin anymore? You used it too many times. That's one thing that we know that does it, overuse. But there's lots of reasons now explaining insulin resistance. So diabetes or high blood sugar or hyperglycemia, which we're going to discuss and define, it begins when those beta receptors in the cell membrane stop responding to insulin. That's the beginning of problems. Now, your body's got all sorts of countermeasures to this. So what's it going to do when the blood sugar starts to go higher, which is toxic to the body, toxic to the circulation, toxic to the nerves? What's the body going to do when the insulin isn't binding to the membrane? The body's going to produce more insulin. Now we're adding insult to injury. Because long term, if the blood sugar stays high too often, that's a toxic problem. And if your body starts producing more insulin to basically compensate, well, then eventually in your 60s, you start running out of insulin and you start developing insulin dependent diabetes. And you see that, especially in people as they get into their 50s and 60s. It starts with you eat the food and your blood sugar goes up, and you get everything done correctly and your blood sugar drops down to the normal level, which should throughout the day stay between 80 and 100. I think that, you know, there's variation on that, but a safe number, if you really want to do it right, is to keep your blood sugar at about 80, tops 100, all day long, irregardless of what you're doing, whether you're working out.